Beginning of his gospel. He was the beloved who knew Jesus and gave a summation of how he came into the world. And the world did not accept him. They arrived at Bethlehem, a small village, I suppose, not dissimilar to a village out the road here, and there was no room. And in the Greek, that means there was no room for them. In other words, there was an inn there where men would gather, the horses would be over here with animals there, but it was largely a drinking inn, a place where men would gather and just sleep the night and move on. It wasn't a place where an expectant mother would give birth. Just think of the ordeal, it's just too embarrassing, it's just uncomfortable for everyone. So, in other words, there's no room for you too, because you're about to have a baby. Go somewhere else where it's more appropriate. And ever since, God has not been that welcome in the world. And even today, we don't talk about BC and AD. When Christ entered our space and time, he shut down the old and began the new. We take this for granted, but stop and think. Ever since the birth of Christ, we've started to count the years again. When I was a child at school, before Christ, it was BC, now called Common Era. And since Christ, it's AD, which is Latin for in the year of the Lord, in the year of the Lord's birth. Now it's called, Common Era, and before Christ is before the Common Era. So the Common Era, somehow Christ is just not there. And yet we still date 2020, what a year, from his birth. So he's had that impact, although the world doesn't want to acknowledge the impact. For the last few days, the ABC has been talking about Christmas, and no one's mentioned the reason for the season, that Christmas is an English word, Mass, for Christ, in honour of his birthday. That's what Christmas means, going to Mass, because of the nativity, the birth of our Saviour. And the name Jesus means he who saves. It's our feast. Claim it and name it, but not many do. In fact, they're embarrassed to name it as the birthday of Jesus. So what do they talk about? Because they've got to talk about something. It's a public holiday. So they talk about families. Oh, good idea. They talk about food. Good quality. Lots of it. And, of course, they talk about presents and optional extra, depending on the children's age, Santa. Now, this is all ours. We should claim every inch of those three topics. Although that's what they push, if you pull back time, look at those three realities, they're ours also. Just like Santa Claus is Saint Nicholas. And in Eastern Europe, today they don't give presents, they give it on the 6th of December, his feast day, or the Feast of the Epiphany, when the kings come bearing gifts. So why do we have these three themes in the secular world? The secular has replaced the sacred, because that's what it's all about. Jesus was born not as a teenager, would have been interesting. He didn't just pop into the world as an adult. He could have done that. He's God after all. He came as a baby, born of a mother. And that was a miraculous birth, as was the conception. And Joseph is the foster father. You have a family there. God regards the family not as important, but essential. And that's the holy family, and we're meant to emulate and imitate them by acts of kindness to become like them. So the family theme is valid. Tick the box. Food. Food is how you celebrate something that's important. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings. But behind this secular notion of feasting is also a sacred reality. Because he who was born would one day say, as an adult, I am the bread of life. Unless you eat me. And he used a very strong verb there. Unless you chew upon me, unless you digest me, you cannot have life in me. And what's he saying? He's saying, I'm going to feed your souls, not your bodies. And that's why he was born at Bethlehem. Hebrew word meaning house of bread. Because therein would be born the bread of life. And look what we put him in. We don't put him in the cot, we put him in the feeding trough. That's a feeding trough called the Mangitoria in the Nativity set. So we're putting him in the feeding trough because he feeds our souls. That's what the feasting ultimately is all about. And lastly, presents. We give presents, yes, it's a good thing to do. It makes people happy, especially children. Depends what they get, of course, but it shouldn't be grumpy. We should be gracious. Whatever we get is a blessing. So any gift is a good gift. And it's in the giving that we receive. Notice we give presents, TS, because of his presence, SCE. It's because he came to us as God's gift. We feel inspired to give gifts to others. And that's why I think it's a good thing to give gifts at Christmas. So those three realities, claim them as ours because ultimately they are within a sacred context. We want to have a happy Christmas. We get a happy Christmas by seeking Christ, who is the J-O-Y, joy of the world. As an acronym, J-O-Y stands for Jesus, others, and yourself. If you place that recipe in your mental framework today, you shall have happiness. Jesus must come first. Sometime during the day, just wander over to the crib or wander in your mind to that reality of a cold night. Shepherds coming, hopefully with their wives and kids, bringing some food. And here's this couple stuck out there with this newborn child in a feeding trough, and it's cold. It may have been wet. We just don't know. There would have been some mist, perhaps, fog. It wasn't a pleasant environment, yet they had joy. And the angels sang. The glory we have at Mass is their hymn of praise. So we find within the midst of adversity, Jesus. And he makes us wonder in our thoughts about his presence in the world. So think about him and remember as he was perhaps tossing in that cot, that feeding trough, rubbing his shoulders, whatever babies do, he was thinking about you today. He was thinking about what you're going to do today. If he didn't, if he wasn't God, because God knows all things and he is God made man. One divine person with two natures, human and divine, wrapped in swaddling clothes. The second is others. It's in receiving, giving that we receive. So let's give of ourselves to others and be thoughtful of the needs of others today. There might be someone gathering in your home you don't like, well, there always is. Well, just be smiling and cheerful towards them. And of course, let's make sure we all help with the washing up after lunch. The mess after Christmas lunch is always an ordeal in most homes. So let's be generous and you know, get behind helping up, cleaning up, and making life bearable for all. It's in thinking of other people today that Christ comes into our hearts. And lastly, yourself. Be mindful of your needs and what you need spiritually and physically before the Lord and ask him to help you. He came into the world for one reason, for us. And that means you personally. He loves you and he wants you to be happy. So trust in him, seek his will, and he will bless you on this, his birthday. I'll conclude with a poem by an English martyr during the Protestant Reformation, 16th century. His name was Robert or Bob Southwell, a Jesuit, and he wrote this regarding Christmas. Behold an innocent tended babe in freezing winter night, in homely manger trembling lies, yes, alas, a piteous sight. The inns are full, no man will yield this little pilgrim bed, but forced he is with simple beasts in crib to shroud his head. Weigh not his crib, his wooden dish, nor beasts that by him feed. Weigh not his mother's poor attire, nor Joseph's simple tweed. This stable is a prince's court, this crib is chair of state. The beast's a parcel of his pomp, the wooden dish his plate. The persons in that poor attire his royal subjects wear, the prince himself is come from heaven, this pomp is prized up there. With joy approach, O Christian souls, do homage to thy King, and highly praise his humble pomp, which he from heaven doth bring.